Okay. Hi, my name is Andy. I'm a codependent, a chaos creator, and a grateful member of this BBA community. I was going to say fellowship, and I guess that's a very appropriate word also. And I'd like to share today on step 11 and also the idea of living in steps 10 and 11, which I think most of us here do. Steps 10, 11, and 12, I guess, is actually more accurate. Now, I only have with me a digital version of the big book, and I wanted to read something from it. So maybe somebody can tell me where we are, because depending on how big I make the digital book, the pages change. So what I was going to read is basically the last bit of chapter 6, starting with that paragraph where we talk about it is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action. Are any of you guys clear enough on
Page
that? Which page is it?
85.
Page 85. Thank you. For me, it's page 93, but that's irrelevant. Okay, so as the book says, it is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of his spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. But we must go further, and that means action. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no request for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends or partners to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the same way we have just outlined. But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. Okay, so I read that mostly for myself because some of you guys know I'm a professional musician and also a university professor. And I have been, I had a 4-month period in my professional life where I had no concerts at all. And then it all started happening. And I've been playing 3 to 5 concerts a week in different countries with different bands, plus teaching full time. And my sponsor, who has been a very important person in my life, we were talking 1.5 hours every week. He lives in Canada. He had what he first thought was a stroke, and then it turns out that he had spinal issues and had to have surgery, and is gradually, over the course of weeks, regaining the use of his hands. And so I'm now without a sponsor for a while too. And so I'm kind of floating into this realm of resting on my laurels. And so I wanted to read this step 11. And it worked out nicely that our speaker finder came up empty handed this morning, which just kind of led me directly into, oh, well, I have to do something because I'm leading this meeting, so I might as well share. So I think that, as I said earlier, that most of us in this meeting, if not all of us, essentially live in steps 10, 11, and 12. We take personal inventory and we promptly admit it. We make direct amends to such people when possible, which I guess is step 10 going back to step 9 whenever we need to. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. And then we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles. So I have done my my best, and I continue to put my attention every day on bringing these principles into action in my life in a way that has become a natural feeling, and I am aware of how my ongoing recovery from my lifelong illness of codependency and chaos creation and adrenaline addiction, how the recovery that is sustained and maintained and expanded from my personal spiritual practice keeps expanding and leading me to new things. As I said, I got super, super busy and I haven't been to a meeting for a couple of weeks. I haven't spoken to my sponsor in the way that we used to talk. And the first thing that I realized is, whoa, I was really depending on my sponsor to point things out to me, to bring up things that were, or let's say to talk to me about how my life was unfolding, how I was living my life, and then to point out how the spiritual principles of the 12-step program related to that. And when he was just suddenly not there, it felt really intense. And I recognized that he said something to me. My father died a year ago. My ex-wife died 2 years ago. And my mother has been dead for many, many years. And so my sponsor, Tom, last year said, so all the guardrails are gone now. And I realized, wait a minute, Tom, you are actually the last guardrail. And now that he's sort of, he disappeared off my radar for a couple of weeks, I realized, wow, I was depending on him. And this put me into a state of reflection that I've lived my entire life depending on other people to reflect to me about me. And I remember that I used to say to my first wife, I think you know me better than I do, and thinking, okay, yeah, whatever. But now I think, man, that was really completely stupid and not stupid. That's a lazy word. I was aware of this situation, but it didn't spur any further reflection. And so now here I am, the wife that I lived with for over 20 years, who was spiritually very astute and very willing to tell me her reflection of my words and my actions. She's gone. My parents are gone. My sponsor's gone. My girlfriend lives 7 hours away in another part of the country. So it's just me now, and just me and the 12 steps, and me and God, and me and my spiritual practice, and me and all of this. And actually, I'm really, really praying for Tom's recovery, because he's been a dear friend. And of course, you know, anybody who has major surgery and loses the use of their limbs, I want them to recover. But it's been an interesting toss into the lake of sink or swim on your own here. And so the spiritual practices that I have developed as I read through the book's discussion of what we call step 11, I realized that there's a lot in there that I don't actually do, but that my daily life as a musician and as a teacher, and spending a lot of time now alone, which I didn't do in most of my life, that a lot of these principles come up in other ways, under other names, perhaps. And I've said this, I think, almost every time I share in this group, that I see you, my community here in this particular meeting, as where God speaks to me most directly. And the things that I hear being shared in this meeting are sometimes so directly relevant to my life, it's surprising, shocking even. But then on the other hand, I go, well, actually, that makes sense. God is speaking to me on every channel. And this is a great channel because I'm wide open when I come to this meeting to hear what's happening. And so I feel that living in steps 10 back to 9, 11, and 12 is the part of my life that's become a, it's not an obligation. It's not a something I gotta, oh, I forgot to do that. It's more like a joyous opening into this new state that I find continually opening for me, which I guess we'll use the word recovery, but the spiritual practice improves my life constantly. Of course, with interpersonal relationships, what did I say? Did I say something that I shouldn't have? I blurted something out a couple weeks ago, super tired at the end of the night, really busy. And then I realized, wow, I said something that I really shouldn't have said. And I apologized later on. And the guy didn't hear it the way that I had said it, fortunately, because then I realized, wow, I actually said what I felt, but it wasn't very nice. And I wasn't capable of doing that before I dove in and really committed myself to the 12 steps. And so as my 15 minutes comes to an end, I just want to say that you guys here in this fellowship and my sponsor and my sponsors, Jeff was also a sponsor of mine, have really led me to a new life, and that the ninth step promises and the spiritual principles of this program and the way that it weaves into my life, and that the success of recognizing every day that I have the illness of codependency that is not going away, but I can even be grateful for the fact that the distortions of my entire life have brought me to this moment, and I would never have come to this moment any other way than through an illness that I only through God's power have any chance of I have only through God's power do I have a chance to live a life with the beauty and the openness and the lack of stress and the love and the dedication to the spiritual principles. Oh no, I got into such a long sentence, I forgot what I was talking about. But anyway, I just want to say that I am deeply grateful for the 12-step program and how it has changed every aspect of my life, and that the spiritual practice that I have, which is it's definitely my version, and being an improvising jazz musician, maybe that doesn't mean much to some of you, but there's a connection to a higher power that is the only way that we can do it. Standing on stage with no music and a group in front of an audience, and it's being recorded and live streamed across the planet, I have to let go. I have to stop controlling. I have to allow the inspiration to flow through me and through the group as a unit. And I see that as much as a meditation, as a connection to God, as saying a prayer by myself. And so I'm grateful for the lifestyle that I've got that brings me these opportunities. And I'm grateful to be able to host this meeting and to be a part of this wonderful community here. And thank you for letting me share today.